keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. The great work from which the mind should not be diverted is the consideration of our safety in the sight of God. The storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? Are our feet on the rock of ages? Are we one with Christ as he is one with the Father? Now, what I want you to see in here, and this isn't the only place where Sister White quotes from this passage in Revelation 16. What she quotes here is out of the very passage where the beast, dragon, and false prophet are portrayed as leading the world to Armageddon, and they're portrayed in Revelation 16 in between the sixth and the seventh plague. And some people would tell you, well, here the beast, dragon, and false prophet are located between the sixth and seventh plague, so evidently the work that they do to lead the world to Armageddon begins after the plagues are falling. And I would suggest to you that when Sister White refers to that passage in Revelation 16, and she quotes specifically this phrase, "Behold, I come as a thief, blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments," she always places that warning before probation closes. John identifies the six plagues, and then he brings in the testimony of these three powers leading the world of Armageddon to give a warning to us that before our probation closes, we need to recognize that the plagues are coming, recognize who the spiritual influences are that are being used by Satan to lead the whole world to Armageddon, and make sure when these things are going on that we're wearing the righteousness of Christ in our Christian experience. So I want us to understand that even though this warning is located in the midst of the plagues, that it's a warning of an event, of a movement that takes place, begins before the close of probation. And we'll demonstrate that these spirits are already well underway in the world today. And of course, human probation hasn't closed as of yet. Now, when John sees these three unclean spirits like frogs, many people will say that the frog's number one characteristic is its tongue, and it catches its prey with its tongue, and therefore that's what's being symbolized by the use of frogs here. And this is a very good illustration of what it may symbolize in a secondary sense, but the only place where Sister White refers to this and gives an idea of what the frog symbolizes, there's two places, but they're almost identical, and we've pulled this one out of the publishing ministry, page 380. It's a little bit different than relating the tongues of the frogs with possibly the charismatic movement. And listen with me, although she's speaking about the printing work,